This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan's Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston, home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He jumps on the first one. He cranks it down the line, headed deep into the corner, and that is gone. Home run into the foul screen on pitch number one, number 28. Boy, this is the new Mookie Betts attack over the last month or so. First pitch swinging and crushing.
So now why would we play that? Why would we play a Mookie Betts home run from a meaningless game in which the Red Sox lost to the Toronto Blue Jays ultimately and 4-3, I think, was the final, and further cemented the fact that they are non-contender in the American League playoffs. And the reason? Because Mookie Betts is a topic of discussion tonight. A topic. To go along with the other things we've talked about this week, the dismissal of Dave Dombrowski. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. And I asked you last night, and I would still like your answer. The owners of the Red Sox have won four titles in, what is it, 17 years, 18 years? Four championships for an organization that hadn't won in 86 years. And yet, when something goes wrong, boy, fans can't line up to beat the crap out of them enough. So what is it? Just the fact that everybody hates owners everywhere? Because they are a very, very small percentage of any population. And let's face it, most of us don't have any idea what they go through. So that's what it is. Or is it the fact that Henry and those guys are from out of town? Or is it what? The fact that they don't show up for press conferences, or for that matter, even have them when they fire a general manager? So I'll take your thoughts on all those things. 617-779-0985. But Mookie relates to a story that was in the USA Today today. This one by Bob Nightingale, and if you remember, when the entire Dombrowski rumor came out in the Boston Globe, and Dan Shaughnessy wrote that he'd be shocked if Dombrowski were back as general manager of the Red Sox, there was nothing anywhere from anybody for a period of time until Dombrowski spoke to Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And then there was an item by Kenny Rosenthal recently. Both Nightingale, Rosenthal, longtime national baseball writers. Dave Dombrowski's been in the job a long time. You can connect the dots. What I'm telling you is I think Dombrowski speaks to decidedly few people throughout the game. Nightingale and Rosenthal feel like two of those guys to me. And by the way, before I go down the road, because I don't love Dombrowski's argument, if I were those guys and I had access to Dombrowski, I'd print it too. So I'm not ripping those guys. Okay, I worked the beat for a long time. I know what it's like. But Nightingale writes today concerning, and this was really a piece in defense of Dave Dombrowski. Okay, but Nightingale writes, there are a number of elements I want to get to here, but Betts is one of them. Okay, and this paragraph, there was word now from Red Sox executives that they are changing direction, plan to cut payroll, let all-star slugger J.D. Martinez leave if he opts out of his contract, even let reigning MVP Mookie Betts walk away as a free agent if they don't trade him first, and that they didn't believe Dave Dombrowski was capable of pulling it off. Okay, now again, the part of this story that I find interesting is this started to pop up last night, the idea of letting both Betts and Martinez go. And I've said this consistently, I hate it. The idea of having both Betts and J.D. Martinez walk out that door, I think it's a potential demise of the offense. Okay, I think that highly of J.D. Martinez in the middle of the lineup. Now let me read from you what John Tomasi wrote on NBCSportsBoston.com. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I gave you a general overview of the Red Sox payroll. That this year they were at about 245. When they let their free agents go and they take Pablo Sandoval off the books, they're going to be down to 225. they don't save that much money. For all the money that comes off the books, they don't save a lot because there are raises built in for Chris Sale, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, other arbitration guys, etc. They're all raises that are already built in. The point is, they don't have a lot of money to spend, and they have a lot of holes. John Tomasi takes that further today on NBC Sports Boston, and he's right. Okay, so listen to this and listen closely. The Red Sox spent more than $240 million last year and will be in that range again this year, meaning 2019. If they spend beyond the tax threshold again in 2020, they will trigger the most onerous penalties with a tax of 50% on every dollar they spend over $208 million. 95% on every dollar over 248, and a sliding scale in between. And this is consistent with what we know about the Red Sox from their past, that every third year, they go under the tax. The luxury tax next year is 208. The 248 number that we talk about all the time, that is the highest threshold. But the tax kicks in at 208, which Tomasi points out. The problem with dropping below 208 is that the Red Sox are already well over it for 2020. If they do nothing except just bring back their roster, okay, they're already over it. So the clearest way to slip below that threshold, writes Tomasi, requires a pair of unthinkable moves. Not one, two. Letting Martinez opt out and leave, and trading bets. If that happens, you tell me, Murray, how good are the Red Sox going to be when Chris Sale could be facing Tommy John? Nathan Eovaldi has a history of injury. David Price currently has a bad wrist. So you'd have an injured pitching staff and you'd lose Betts and Martinez. How do you feel about that prospect?
No, not great. I mean, they're going to have to move one of these guys or just walk away from JD Martinez if he opts out. But I didn't expect that both could be gone. I mean, the offense would definitely dip. Look, the years you get out of Bogaerts and Devers, there's at least building blocks, but the team would be probably in the same position they are this year, just short of the playoffs.
So look, this is the offseason now, basically, for the Red Sox. They're playing out the string. And so I think it's worth throwing another question into the conversation. If the Red Sox can rebuild this thing, but it requires cutting bait with both Martinez and Betts, and JD's not their call. If JD opts in, I don't want to say they're stuck with him because I actually think that's a good thing. Okay, but if it helps them reset in the long term to have both of those guys leave, I'm curious as to how the fan base feels about it because next year could be a tough year. You're looking at like a low 80s win team, if that. You're looking at a very average ball club, if that happens. Look at what they are this year without pitching and with Martinez and Betts in the lineup, and then subtract some of the offense, too. 617-779-0985 is the number. We'll take your calls throughout the hour. Joey's in Quincy. He kicks us off. What do you got, Joey?
Hey, two quick questions. One statement, one question. I really don't care if they let Mookie go. I'd rather them trade just to get something for him, but he wants a ridiculous contract, and I don't think they should pay it regardless. Two, do you think Dombrowski was let go too early or too late? Why? I'll hang up and let you talk.
Okay, so I don't think he was let go too late. I don't believe that at all. Now, too early? I mean, I don't think...
In terms of this season, they should have just waited until the season was over. I think the timing sucked. But so, no, the overall... No, he had to go. You got a World Series out of it. He did what you thought he was going to do.
So, look, when I say when someone says too early, like, will it hurt them that he's not here? And my answer is no. But from a PR standpoint, an image standpoint, it looks bad. The idea that they would fire him at this stage, 3 weeks before the end of the season, 2.5 weeks, it looks bad. I mean, really, that looks ticky-tack. Minor league is what it looks. Now, that said, I do believe that Dombrowski forced the issue. So he pressed them on it. He wanted an answer, and they gave him one, and that was the end of it. Now, I'd be willing to bet that he pressed them on the issue because he didn't want to stick around for the end of the year. So, on some level, I think Dombrowski's being a coward. I do. I think that he pressed them on the issue because why do I have to wait until the end of the year? We're out of it. The team sucks. I don't want to answer questions. Now he looks like a sympathetic figure. Now he's got people writing about him like Nightingale. And again, I'm not criticizing Nightingale. Okay, because Dombrowski's got his friends in the game too. But now all of a sudden, Dave Dombrowski's a sympathetic figure. So he gets to orchestrate all that by what? By forcing the issue with ownership? He's not a sympathetic figure. He got paid well here. He had a good gig. He got a lot of money to spend, and he traded other people's prospects. Cry me a river for Dave Dombrowski. Boo-hoo-hoo. Like I care. But it won't. It is not going to hurt them to get rid of him this soon, but it's a bad look for the Red Sox. Okay? It's a bad look because most people won't dig into the why and understand that Dombrowski's really the one who forced the issue. The other element in this story is the internal politics of the Red Sox, which we haven't delved into a lot yet. We'll get to that, too, in a minute. Quickly, though, Frank and Marshall. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Tony. Two points on why the fan base may not love this ownership. It goes back to, like, the Lester thing. We're not going to sign pitchers over 30. And then, you know, and then they sign Price and Sale. And another thing, for as many championships as they've won, They've had managers and general managers. There doesn't seem to be a long-term plan or a, you know, they just kind of fly from the seat of their pants and fire and hire. You said it last week. It's Steinbrenner without the bravado or whatever you said, you know?
Well, so Frank, and look, it's a good point. There hasn't been a lot of stability, right? They've won titles, but it's been unstable, particularly in the second half of it. Like if you were to look at the beginning of it, you'd say, okay, 02 was a transitional year, but they had a good year. They won in the 90s. 03, they get to the LCS. 04, they win it all. 05, they took a step back, and they had some inner turmoil, but they came back strong. They made the Beckett deal, and they had a rebuilding year. Ultimately, they won it in 07. They got an ALCS appearance again in 08. But then after that, 11 was an epic collapse. 2012 was a clown show with Valentine. They sneaked out a World Series in 2013, but in 14 and 15, they finished dead last. Dead freaking last. Then, division, World Series, and now disappointing year again. So it's been kind of all over the map. Meanwhile, no Red Sox firing would be complete without the requisite amount of inner turmoil, gossip, and conflict on the highest levels of Fenway Park. Bob Nightingale touched on this today in his story in USA Today. We'll tell you what that said and which two people were at odds when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotta, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And sometimes in baseball, you've seen that there's a division between the baseball and the business operations. I don't know how, I would assume here it's been great because everybody's been involved in it. But I think one of the things that's extremely important that we work closely together, and we will do that. So I look forward to working with Sam, and I'm sure we'll collaborate on a lot of things together because we will work together. And Sam will run the business and can be in charge of the baseball, but we'll be working closely together on a lot of things.
It's Dave Dombrowski at the press conference that announces hiring. And you heard him say there at the very end, Sam can be in charge of the business, I can be in charge of the baseball. And he's right about saying that the conflict between the business and the baseball and a lot of organizations, that exists. In fact, if you believe Bob Nightingale today in the USA Today, it existed with the Red Sox, even now, despite what Dombrowski said. And at one moment in that press conference, and I tried to find the clip, I remember seeing the cut of it recently, Dombrowski was asked point blank, will you two actually collaborate? And he said yes, but not on baseball decisions. Just making it clear that he had, you know, urinated on his territory and Sam was not to step in it. Okay, now, generally speaking, I think that's how it should run. I didn't like the fact that Larry Lucchino was peering over the shoulder at the OFC all the time. I hated that. Larry's not a baseball guy. Stay out. Stay out. The business guy runs the business. The baseball guy runs the baseball. And then sometimes you're going to have conflicts. We don't have enough money because the business side didn't work, or we want this. Their interests are going to run counter to one another sometimes. But the idea that Theo Epstein had to run decisions by Larry Lucchino, to me, was asinine. I hated that. Couldn't stand it. Bob Nightingale writes in USA Today, there have been reports that Dombrowski didn't have a warm and cozy relationship with his co-workers, in particular Red Sox president and CEO Sam Kennedy. Dombrowski denied the rift last month to USA Today Sports, but the whispers prevailed before the firing and became stronger afterward. There were rumors he isolated himself from everyone but assistant Frank Wren and Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. But curiously, Wren and La Russa remain employed, and neither have been told they aren't coming back in 2020. Okay? And then he goes on to the Red Sox are changing direction. Martinez could be gone. Mookie Betts could be gone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the conflict that existed, did it exist between Sam and Dombrowski? Probably. Yes. Probably. In fact, I would tell you, yes, I'd be willing to bet on it. In fact, is that the reason Dombrowski's gone? No. No, Dombrowski's gone because he built a team that had a small window and spent a ton of money and signed a couple of bad contracts at the end to the point where now they're handcuffed going into a year where they want to stay under the luxury tax and they don't think he's the guy to do it. And personally, I agree with them. I don't think he's the guy to do it. Dombrowski wants to spend, use other people's monies and other people's prospects. The Red Sox knew that when they brought him in, which is fine. He did that, and he delivered a world title. But now they need something different. So again, I ask you, if they have to go under 208 next year to reset that luxury tax, and it means they'll be better off in the long term, but in 2020, no J.D. Martinez, no Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, maybe elbow surgery, and you're looking at an 82-80 team a year after they grossly disappointed you? You tell me, are you okay with that? Because I don't know if I am. John's in Charlestown. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Jim. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
The arrogance. You asked why this ownership gets the reaction. They do amazing stuff. They win. And then self-inflicted damage because of arrogance. That's why they get the rest.
Hey, John, before you go on, just let me add, do you think Bill Belichick's arrogant?
Oh, God, yeah. Of course.
How come you don't feel the same way about him?
Self-inflicted damage. So let me make the argument. You can tell me if I'm consistent or not. Okay.
Okay. Go.
So, and the argument is, we don't need an ace. We don't need to replace David Ortiz in the middle of the lineup. We don't need Theo. We don't need a closer. Over and over, they overreach. They win, and they act like it was their plan all the way. Okay, you got really lucky last year. The first thing I expected in order for this to continue was pay attention to the bullpen.
Okay, so John, yeah, I don't want to spill into a million different areas. Okay, so again, my question, see, I don't think it is solely because Red Sox owners are arrogant. I think there are a lot of reasons you don't like them. The instability year to year is one thing. To me, accountability is a big one. I just don't remember many occasions where the owners of the team sat there and said, We made a mistake. We let Theo go. We shouldn't have let him go. In retrospect, that was a big mistake. We've had people here do good work since, but we happen to think Theo is the best executive in the game. I told you what I would do. I'd call up the Cubs and say, what do you want for Theo? And then I'd say to Theo, we'll give you 10 years and a stake of ownership. Bulletproof. You can't touch him. That's what I would do because that's what it's going to take. Dave's in Reading. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, I just wanted to hit on that ownership piece again from yesterday. Completely agree. I mean, I think what fans really want to see is some level of transparency. You're not going to get full transparency, but you know, with the amount of money they spend, you then need a consistent product on the field. And this team was so much more likable, and when you could relate to them with the Tony Francona-led team, you could watch post-game. They were likable. And then something changed after they won the championship. And I don't know what it was. Greed, you know, adding to the stadium, you know, who knows?
So, Dave, I honestly don't think that was it. I don't think anything changed. In 07, they had their most popular year ever. Their ratings were at an all-time high in 2007, not in 2004. After they won the first one, they became more popular for a short period of time. The second championship changed things. Now, maybe some of those things apply now that I think of it. As you said, maybe they apply after that second title. Okay, maybe that's what it was, that all of a sudden some of that mystique was gone. And there's been a lot of instability since 08. Since 08, there's been a lot of instability. Bill's in Beverly. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Tony, the days of getting rid of payroll through a Crawford, you know, Gonzalez deal are over. So no one's taking those contracts on anymore. So basically it is what it is, to quote Bill Belichick. We're in rebuilding mode. They signaled that by getting rid of Dombrowski, and now they're saying, no surprise, that they need to bring someone in who can rebuild this team.
Yeah, so look, Bill, I generally agree with you. I don't think you're moving any big contracts, but do you think Mookie Betts is tradable?
Absolutely. I mean, how do you do the rebuild? What's your biggest chip to trade? It's Mookie.
So you would trade him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in rebuild mode. And if you trade Mookie, you don't need J.D. Martinez, to be honest with you, at this point. And I think, you know, from a DH spot, you can replace that. You can't replace J.D. Martinez, but you can replace a big percentage of J.D. Martinez just because he's a DH. That's a fungible asset, if you will.
See,
but
Bill,
if you're going to go in, you got to go in.
See, Bill, I think the opposite. I think if you trade Mookie, you can afford to lose J.D. less. You have to keep J.D. To me, J.D. Martin, the whole lineup changed when he came. And listen, I'm the one who wanted Giancarlo Stanton. So I was wrong about J.D. But look it up. Guys in the majors who bat 300 and hit the bottom of the ballpark like this guy does. And when I say that, I mean all fields. There aren't many guys that do what J.D. Martinez does. That's a hard guy to replace. And I love Devers and I love Bogarts. If you keep them with J.D. Martinez, I like it. You take J.D. Martinez out of the equation, I worry about those two guys being able to carry your lineup. I hope I'm wrong.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tumultuous times for the Red Sox. I said this earlier in the week. I used to say it a lot back, you know, when I was covering the team before the World Series in 2004. The problem with the Red Sox is that they almost always end up in a dumpster fire. Now, again, that was pre-World Series championship. Okay, and that winter's more important than the summers. And every so often, even now, they have a big offseason that comes along. This is one of them. Big offseason, no GM at the moment. I don't think Dombrowski was the right guy for the challenge that faces them now. But again, based on the stories out there today, John Tomasi and NBC Sports Boston and Bob Nightingale of USA Today, the Red Sox are thinking of if J.D. Martinez opts out, they may let him go and they may trade Mookie anyway. They may want to get under $208 million with that payroll for next year. That means getting rid of Martinez and Betts and taking a significant step back in 2020. Are you going to tolerate that? My buddy Alan in Florida. Alan, what do you got?
Well, number one, just to address that, you know, they're not stupid. And Nesson, you know what the ratings will be, and you know what the advertising dollars will be if they get rid of both of them. I don't think they're going to do that. You right from the beginning have said Betts doesn't want to be here, regardless of what he says, that he wants to be here, he loves it, but he's a businessman, and that's the way the world is today. And you know, if they get rid of both of them, what's Nesson going to do? The ratings are lousy right now, aren't they? Because they're no good. So what do you think will be next year? Okay, that's number one. One thing I don't understand, Maz, you said you understand that he was fired, but you don't agree with it. I mean, how can you not? That makes no sense to me.
No. I said that earlier on. I mean, to me, Dombrowski's not the right guy for this job. I have no problem with the decision.
Well, absolutely not. And, you know, the one guy, you know, I love Boston. You know, greatest city in the world. But we have good guys and bad guys. We all made fun of, including me, John Farrell, with his press conferences and everything. You know, Alex Cora's gotten a free ride. I mean, you know how many times he said this year, what a great talented, they kept losing, we're talented, Evaldi, oh, I loved his stuff today. You know, he gave in other words, two strikes. If he only had gotten a third strike, I mean, he did nothing to get this team going. The spring training was just a horror.
Disaster.
It was a disaster. The opening trip we know about.
Alan, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong to say that about Cora. I'm going to let you go just so I can get to some other calls. It's nice to hear from you. I haven't heard from him in a while. Usually you make fun of me. So it's nice to actually get a call where you didn't make fun of me. But that's okay. I would have taken you either way. The Cora thing, you're right.
That begins next year. Yeah, this was his mulligan year.
So, and I think that Cora recognized his mistake a little less than halfway through. Somewhere in the middle of June, he looked up and said, oh boy, we did this wrong.
I think it was earlier than that, Tony.
Maybe you're right, Jimmy, yeah.
I think it was that Sunday night after the Yankee series where he's like, see that dugout over there? They're playing to win, we're not.
So maybe you're right.
Right, yeah, talking about the Yankees, right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, again, I'm splitting hairs here. I think he recognized that the problem existed. I think he didn't accept his part in it until June. That, you know what? We made a mistake. We went a little too far. And so I'm eager to see. Now, look, if they make all these moves and they get, if Martinez opts out and they trade Betts and Sales hurt and they want to stay under $208 million, the manager's going to be tested next year.
Well, they might also have to trade Price.
Okay. So who's going to take him, Jimmy? Who's going to take him?
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of money out in Major League Baseball, and you're telling me 3 years at 30?
Okay, but so do you really want to do that, though, too? Like, let's say Price can pitch. You want to move him and then create another hole in the rotation?
If he doesn't want to be here, yeah.
So maybe.
Change the whole clubhouse, go young.
So you're talking about a massive overhaul.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if they need a massive overhaul, but maybe I'm wrong. Cliff's in Rhode Island. Cliff, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. I just finished reading Moneyball here, and I think that we got to look at this from the perspective of John Henry. He's the owner. He signs the checks. So on this, I got Moneyball in front of me. It says John Henry had just purchased the Boston Red Sox, and he was looking to overhaul his franchise in the image of the Oakland A's. Now, I've pulled up all the records and the salaries. Now, the Red Sox are getting smoked in the division, right? But John Henry's got to be looking at the standings, looking at Billy Beane's team, who he wanted to come to the Red Sox. And they're 85-60, and the Red Sox are 76-69. They're 9 games up on the win column on the Red Sox. They also have the 25th ranked payroll in Major Leagues, only $84 million.
Right.
On top of that, Tampa Bay is up there with 49. They're 87-59.
Cliff, it's embarrassing.
Only $45 million last in the league, and Minnesota's at $101 million.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
You know, trying to get to 2-4.
It's embarrassing. Look, at the end of the day, I think they want to go back to that. But look, I also think that the whole Moneyball thing, we want to be Moneyball. I think they do, but I also think they want to be the Yankees. And they want to have the money to throw around. And honestly, I'm okay with that. That's what they should be. They should be an organization that pumps out players and then can fill the holes with the money. They should have both. I've always said that. The Red Sox shouldn't have to pick. They shouldn't have to pick at being a reckless spending team. And they shouldn't have to pick it being a player development operation. They should be both. I've always felt that. They should be both. They have the capacity to be both. Mike's in Connecticut. Mike, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Teams like Oakland, Minnesota, Tampa, they don't have a choice. They have to be player development operations. But if you can be that and have the money to back you up, you're golden. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No problem, Matt. Yeah, so I was going to follow up. So you brought up a great point late last week about you know how Red Sox ownership handled this with Dombrowski and his firing. And you know, you asked the question, like, you know, how do you expect to be able to attract another outside GM to want to come in here and seeing how they handle this? So I have a very simple two-part question here. Number one is, do you expect do you think, or who do you think the Red Sox will end up hiring? And number two, who do you want the Red Sox to hire at that GM? Thanks a lot.
Okay, so look, who do I think they're going to end up hiring? I think they're going to hire Eddie Romero from inside. And from what I understand, he and Cora have a good relationship. Romero's a player development guy. And I believe that that relationship between your GM and manager is the most important one in the organization. That's your link. That's your link from the clubhouse to the front office. If those two guys are on the same page, you're usually good. And I mean, you win all the time. I just mean that your organization is healthy internally. There's no dysfunction, really. Or if there is, you manage it. Because every organization has some level of dysfunction. But that is the marriage in the family. Okay, if you want to put it that way. Who do I want? Theo. I want Theo back. I've always wanted Theo back. This is the biggest mistake of the John Henry era. Never should have let that guy leave. And I told you, give him 10 years, give him a stake in ownership, give the Cubs whatever they want. Bring him back and you'll be good again. Josh is in a car. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Maz. I'm just sitting here listening to you talk a little bit about the numbers, and it's basically a done deal. You figure they have $225 on the books for next year. $35 of that, roughly, is between Mookie and JD. So if you take that out of there, they're at $190. So now the question is what are they going to do with $18 million to fill right field, fix the bullpen, find a first baseman? So, I mean, just looking at the numbers, I think it's a done deal.
Okay, so looking again, I'd be surprised if they let both go, but let's see how it shakes out. If J.D. Martinez opts out and then they trade Mookie and they let them both go, oh boy, I don't know if I like that.
Well, Tony, what if J.D. Martinez opts in? Then don't you have to try and trade Price or Eovaldi or something like that?
Yeah, maybe, Jimmy. Maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they have a backup plan as to who they're going to trade, or maybe they'll eat some of the money and move Martinez anyway. I don't know. It's a good question. But combined next year, those two guys, Betts and Martinez, are not going to make what the caller said. They're going to make more. They're going to make more. Martinez is 22 and a half. Mookie's going to be about 28. They're going to make $50 million bucks. $50 million. So if they were to cut those guys, they'd drop to like 175. And then you have some money to spend to fill those holes that you're talking about, but it won't be superstars. Justin's in Washington. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, first off, J.D. Martinez is not going to opt out. He's an AL-only player because of his back, and he's a liability in the field anyways. But he's definitely not going to opt out because the suitors for him, New York and the Astros, aren't going to spend any money, and there's really no other team in the AL that's going to pony up like that that's ready to compete. But on another point, I wanted to say that I think that they should trade David Price, eat half of his contract, get rid of him to some team that's looking for a pitcher in the AL or the NL, sign maybe Rich Hill or Jake Arrieta, some old replacement guy, and then you can move forward with this rebuild by trading Mookie Betts and getting another young pitcher to fill the other hole in the rotation.
Yeah, so Justin, look, I don't want to get into too many scenarios of let's move this guy, let's do that. I know everybody's got great ideas. Moving anybody with a high salary is a candidate. The question is, can you find a taker? And the more money you eat, the more likely it is that you can get something back. So if you want to eat half of David Price's salary, you can get some good prospects back, or a good prospect. I don't dismiss that as a possibility. So, but the point is, money's coming off the books. And when I say money, I'm not talking about the guys that are already losing. Porcello's out. Sandoval's going to come off the books. Moreland and Pierce are out. I think those are the big ones. Is there anyone else I'm leaving out, Jimmy? I think those are the big ones, though. So Moreland and Pierce combined are about $13 million, I think. Sandoval coming off the books is $19 million. So that's 32, and then Porcello's 20, so that's 52. That's the majority of it. Those are all coming off the books, but you're using a lot of that money on guys you already have. You know, again, Bogarts goes up, Sale goes up, Bradley's going to go up if you have him. He's another candidate to be dealt, by the way. DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Week, brought to you by DraftKings. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code BOSTON, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, look, it's hard to focus on the rest of the baseball at the moment. The Red Sox are doing a bullpen game tonight. I think Bobby Pointer is starting. He's a left-handed reliever. So they're a hard team to pick against, but I mean, or pick in a draft or fantasy draft. I'm going to do it anyway. I like both Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette against Bobby Pointer. Those guys are, you know, borderline major leaguers. I mean, they're major leaguers, but they're still developing. Pointer is a minor leaguer. They should tee off on that guy and you get right left in your favor.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters at 85, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.